Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
An Erios original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the movie Heathers. Here's what you need to know. In the 1980s, the high school comedy was king. There was 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, and then there was Heathers. Heathers is a dark, satirical take on a genre that helped launch careers of young stars Winona Ryder, Christian Slater, and Shannon Doherty. Ryder plays Veronica, a smart girl who has recently ascended to the popular clique of a trio of Heathers. Veronica becomes interested in a new kid named JD, played by Slater, particularly because he rejects the social hierarchy that the Heathers live by. After a big fight with Heather Chandler, the alpha Heather, Veronica sleeps with JD and later mentions that she wishes Heather Chandler were dead.
Dear diary, I want to kill, and you have to believe it's for more than just selfish reasons, more than just a spoke in my menstrual cycle.
JD suggests they serve her drain cleaner under the guise of a hangover remedy. She mixes a mug of orange juice and milk instead, but grabs the wrong mug and accidentally gives Heather Chandler the drain cleaner, a mistake JD saw and didn't correct.
I just killed my best friend.
And your worst enemy.
Same difference.
Heather Chandler dies right before their eyes, and to cover their tracks, Veronica and JD write a fake suicide note. Her perceived suicide grants Heather Chandler icon status, setting off a grim trend of teen suicides within the school. JD goes on to target two popular jocks, Kurt and Ram, seeking revenge for rumors they spread about Veronica. Veronica is in on a plan to shoot them with what JD told her would be fake bullets, but realizes JD's sociopathic intentions when the ill-fated meatheads are shot dead in the woods. Though his anti-establishment attitude was initially what attracted her to him, Veronica ultimately rejects JD's controlling, murderous ways and breaks up with him.
You think you're a rebel? a rebel. You're not a rebel. You're fucking psychotic.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
She skillfully subverts his plan to blow up the entire school in a plan that involves faking her own suicide, only to watch from the school's front steps as JD detonates a bomb strapped to his very own chest. Fun facts, aka death stats. Heather Chandler dies when a prank goes awry, and Veronica serves her a deadly concoction of drain cleaner disguised as hangover cure, an accident JD knowingly let happen. Kurt Kelly and Ram Sweeney are killed by JD after being lured into the woods and shot in a plot for revenge. JD stages the deaths as a suicide pact between two gay lovers. JD himself dies by suicide when, after his grand scheme to blow up the entire school is thwarted, he detonates a bomb strapped to his chest. Bullied student Martha Dunstock attempts suicide by walking into traffic, but survives, only to be continuously mocked by her peers. Heather McNamara attempts suicide after being shamed for her depression. Veronica finds her in the bathroom and saves her from an overdose. Veronica fakes her own suicide to trick JD. Thinking she's dead, JD reveals his plan to blow up the entire school at a pep rally, and Veronica is able to stop him.
With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Hello, Rebecca, and hello, Larmy.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Checking in, fit the fact checker. Ew.
And... and our very special guest is returning fan favorite, Rebecca Johnson.
Roger that.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Drill Sergeant? Or is this space exploration?
This is
trucker?
Already unusable.
Oh, Roger that, trucker, right. Yeah.
Oh, good. That's nice. I have a great question for you guys. I thought we could do this before we start putting people up on the board.
Okay.
If you had $5 million and it was the end of the world, what would you do?
No, an alien came down and told you the world was ending in 2 days.
Oh, no. Okay, I remembered it differently.
You guys remember this scene from the movie, right?
So there's a part in the movie right in the beginning where we meet the girls in school and Veronica is – the Heathers are having Veronica go around and ask this – you know, dilemma. And you get all these like fun responses from other people in the school. Like someone says that they would give it all to the homeless. Or another person says that they would give it all to Madonna so she could like sit on her on his face. That's like one of the jocks, you know?
One of them's like, I'd take a boat out and like with a giraffe or something.
Oh, no. It's they put a stick of a dynamite or a bomb or something on a tiger or a lion. Right. And then
was that the other jock?
No, that was a weirdo.
That was
outside.
A weirdo.
Oh, okay.
Random
just a weirdo.
Weirdo.
Okay. Random weirdo.
So what would you do? Again, what is it? If you had $5 million and an alien came and said you had just like one day to live.
Yeah.
I think I'd combine some of these answers. I would.
Are you going with?
I'm going to take some of the answers as suggestions. And I think I would ride a giraffe. No dynamite. Like just ride a giraffe through the streets of LA and just throw the cash to all the homeless people. And so that, you know, I'd get a thrill giving it away. But also, I mean, that would be pretty memorable, riding a giraffe through downtown LA. So I feel like it's just like a win-win for everyone except the giraffe. Except the giraffe has no idea that one of the options was dynamite up his butt. And that, to me, is off the table.
You should tell the giraffe that.
Yeah.
Right? When you meet the giraffe, so he appreciates that he's not having the dynamite up his butt.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'd have to get a ladder, a very tall ladder, to whisper that into his tiny ear.
Amanda, what would you do?
Yeah, what would you do, Amanda?
I would maybe rent out Disneyland.
Oh.
Great idea.
like,
I wonder how much that costs.
I know it might not even be enough money, to be honest, but I think I would rent out Disneyland and maybe just take my close friends and family and say, like, let's just ride, you know, Space Mountain into oblivion.
Space Mountain,
which is apropos because it was aliens.
In your mind, Amanda, when you rent out Disneyland, is it fully staffed, or is there just like a couple people with you, kind of letting you on the rides and serving you if you want like a drink or something?
Well, it's definitely fully staffed, although that's not really fair. I mean, the people don't know that the world is ending, but it's got to be fully staffed because I need that, you know, A-plus Disney customer service.
Well, this was going to be my, I mean, it touches on my response to this question because I thought about it all the way home while I was driving. It would be everyone's last day, right? Because I'm assuming that everyone knows about it. So no one's going to be working anywhere. So your money is useless.
Well, the alien just told you have 2 days to live. It didn't necessarily broadcast that information.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us? Then that changes my response. Why don't you talk while
Rebecca
I think of
needs
something
to think.
Else?
She needs to scramble to think.
This one I've given a lot of thought. This one I've given a lot of thought to as well. And I think, well, the truth is that I have a lot of things I need to get done around the house, chores, and like I have a couple things that I really want to get done. I got to plaster certain walls, and so just kind of like get the paint out and do some, just to make the house look nice. So okay. I think I'd be busy, honestly.
I mean, maybe go to a nice dinner, at least order it in.
I'd order something in for sure.
Okay. Well, not hanging out with you. So I guess I'm spending my day alone. I was going to say I would do like a big party and just like have it catered and invite all of my friends and just have a blowout bash and then probably get too drunk and then cry and tell someone at the party that what's happening and then just like really change the mood and then everyone would be sad and then we'd just like, but then it would change again. We'd have a raucous time. Okay, well, good. We got that figured out. Now, let's start putting people up on this board. Now, let's start by putting perhaps an obvious one, JD. So, according to the Washington Post 1989 review, JD, Christian Slater, James Dean by way of Faust, mesmerizes Veronica. One burning look in the cafeteria leads to a game of strip croquet, which leads to manslaughter. Imagining him a kindred spirit, she tells him her fantasies about Heather, a man of action. He takes it further, becoming a guerrilla in a personal war against the popular.
Greetings and salutations.
Is that good?
It was, actually.
That was good.
I think this is the whole reason we're doing this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, wait till I do my Winona for you guys.
Oh, you got one? I can't wait. Oh. No.
Somebody once said that, and it made so much sense to me, that Christian Slater is just doing Jack Nicholson. That's his whole career.
Yes.
Were you gals into The Bad Boy? Because JD was he's an outsider here. Now, did you have one of those in your schools? And what was he like? And did he try and get you to kill anybody?
Well, of course, I love a bad boy. Why do you think I ended up with you?
Oh, yeah.
Bad guy.
He's very bad. All that plastering and housework he does.
I'm a literal fact checker. Like, my job right now is fact checker.
He's super hot, right? Tell us, Rebecca, because I know that there's some history here. You watched Heathers as a young teen, right?
Yeah, I watched it a lot in high school. And back then I dyed my own hair black and had black nails and had black lipstick and was like trying to be goth, you know, in the mid 90s. And so I kind of loved that like Winona Ryder type character. And I dated a lot of guys that were like wanted to be bad boy, but they didn't really do anything bad. Like more they looked like they might be bad, but then turns out they're straight edge. And then anybody who was bad, they seemed like they were nice and they were secretly bad, which is kind of the worst kind of bad. JD, you know he's bad from the leather jacket on down, you know, so you know right away that what you're getting into with JD.
Yeah, and I, you know, it brings us to another thing which I think we should put up on the board, which is cool guys. Like the, do you want to call him, it is a bad boy, but it's a bad boy wanting to be cool, right? So what came first, wanting to be cool or being a bad boy?
It's interesting because when you get into like cool, it's like then, it's like there's cool, there's bad boy, and then there's popular. You know, so maybe it's like, I don't know. It's almost like he's too cool for school. Do you think that kind of encapsulates? Because he really does feel like he's above everyone else. So maybe it's, I'll put too cool for school.
Yeah. When Veronica finally stands up to JD as he's trying to bomb the entire school, she says, quote, "You know what? Cool guys like you out of my life. You know what I want?" I always mess up these quotes. I'm like really round up and I'm like, here we go. Quote.
Yeah.
Are you focusing too much on the performance?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Like I read stuff from, you know, articles all the time, but when it comes to a quote, forget it. You know,
words,
I'm going
to ruin
it.
Words can be tough.
Anyway, the quote is, "You know what I want? Cool guys like you out of my life."
Right. So what is she referring to? Is she referring to cool culture? Because at the end, she goes with sort of the heavyset nerdy woman at the end. They're going to be buds now.
Martha.
So is she sort of disavowing coolness, the idea? Probably, right?
I think so.
Yeah, because I think the Heathers are a different kind of cool. The jocks are a different kind of cool. JD's a different kind of cool. And she's just going to go with the authentic, real person who was getting shit on this whole time.
Yeah.
Should we put clicks up on the board just right off the bat? Because I feel like clicks are a huge part of this, because it's almost like JD's a part of, like, she's in a click with the Heathers and then she's in a click with JD.
Totally. Right. I think any kind of pursuit of coolness, right? Should really go up on the board.
The pursuit of coolness.
it goes against authenticity.
Social climbing?
Social hierarchy.
Oh yeah,
that we should put up on the board. So we've got fads and we've got clicks up on the board, which I totally think are, there's something there. I also feel like we should put Veronica up on the board.
Yeah, absolutely. She is the one who inadvertently gives the poison, but yeah, and I think she sets it off. I also think, what about, like, the fact that there's, like, a rash of suicides after the one? What about, is it fads? Is it, like, what, catching trends? Trends.
Ooh, trends. Oh, there might be some sort of clinical name for that. Chris, actually, would you mind looking into that? Because I know that that's actually a real thing when you're talking about suicide, that it can kind of catch on. And I wonder if there's something like teen suggestibility or, you know, something like that. I feel like there might be some clinical term for this.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, while Chris looks that up, I was going to say perhaps it could be society's treatment of suicide.
Oh, interesting.
So Heather's screenwriter, Daniel Water, says the way teenage suicide was presented in films and in the media as a news story incensed me. A teenager who had committed suicide would be elevated to this godlike level. The way the media talks about these issues makes it too real, and suddenly suicide becomes something to consider when you're feeling depressed. One of my favorite lines in the script is when the teacher says, quote, "Whether to kill yourself is one of the most important decisions a teenager can make." That is a line from the movie. There was a certain sanctity and solemnity at the time about teenage suicide that I wanted to satirize. The highlight of that being the father saying, quote, "I love my dead gay son," at the funeral. Only now does the father realize the problems his son had been having. Suicide shouldn't be the way to get them noticed.
Interesting.
Well, that's also like society ignoring mental health.
Yep.
Until it's already too late.
Yes. I think that's better, honestly.
There's something called the Werther effect, which is sort of copycat suicides, which is basically when a suicide is highly publicized, is there an increase of copycat suicide, and there's something called the Werther effect.
That sounds like what the writer's talking about, like how it's publicized and then that right. can create that idea of copycat, which is probably a little reductive of like how it actually works in the real world. You know, I feel like you couldn't make this movie now. But
right. Oh yeah.
No. It's also just worth noting that there was only one actual suicide attempt in the movie. It was
Heather
Martha.
Oh, and oh, right. Heather tries to.
Heather got depressed, and she
Swallows all the pills, almost does.
She had a sort of a suicide attempt. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think what the film is saying and suggesting is that there's almost like this expectation of teens at this time to be so disaffected by.
You know, what's interesting is that the people who attempted suicide didn't die. The only ones who actually died were ones that were killed by JD.
Right.
So really, JD murdered a bunch of people, and it seems actually kind of harsh to blame Veronica for that.
Oh, sorry. JD commits suicide at the end. Sorry.
At the end.
Oh, yeah, at the end. Yeah, he's the only one. Yeah. I wanted to read something going back a tiny bit about Veronica, because I think she's a very complicated character, and that's what makes her so interesting. After killing and faking the suicides of Heather C., Kurt Ram, and Ram, Veronica begins to regret the path she's taken with JD. To punish herself, she burns her hand with a cigarette. JD relishes in her pain by using her smoldering palm to light his cigarette. JD says, quote, "You believed it because you wanted to believe it. Your true feelings were too icky and gross for you to face."
So what do you all make of that? Because do you think that JD was actually sort of, executing Veronica's desires, or was he manipulating her? Or was it just that he's more accepting of his dark impulses and that is really what she wanted subconsciously?
I think that's what makes it so interesting, is that I think it could potentially be both.
Well, she does say in her diary at the beginning, or she just uses terms like, "Oh, I want to kill her," or "I wish she was dead." And they incorporate that in the dialogue. And it's so smart because they sound like what teenagers sound like. I mean, that's what.
Yeah,
teenagers,
right.
That's the vocabulary you hear from teenagers.
Well, should we put something about language on the board? Mm. Like this needing to be more specific with your language, or hyperbole? Like, should we put hyperbole, maybe?
If we had to regulate, we couldn't have people exaggerate things.
Diary hyperbole.
Diary. I love
we
it.
We should put diaries.
Diaries.
Diaries. I feel like because of hormones, because of all that stuff, Veronica sure wishes, like, Heather didn't exist, but I don't know that she thought through all the way to like the aftermath of her dying compared to JD, who's like a psychopath.
Okay, I'm really excited because I already sense that there's gonna be controversy between the four of us when it gets down to crossing things off the board, because I have a different perspective on Veronica.
Let's hear it.
I have an issue with her after the first murder. Not stopping him and not, you know, saying like, "Hey, this guy's like murdering people in her school."
Right.
And I just feel like she kind of goes along with the plan because I know she's like pretending like she doesn't want to do it, but it's slightly convenient for her. Because if you go back to the beginning of the movie, she is in this, she's already in this clique. It's not like she's a loser who the Heathers are like, "Okay, fine, we'll let you hang out with us." She's already part of it. So she's reaping all of the rewards of being in this cool club. And but at the same time, she wants to have her cake and eat it too. So she wants the status of being with part of the Heathers, but she doesn't want to, you know, have to deal with Heather Chandler, who's the main one. She hates her. You know what I mean? I just feel like it wasn't a situation where she got taken advantage of from the beginning. where she was duped in any way.
Right.
She knew what kind of people they were. She knew what she was doing. And her hatred for them was not to say that it wasn't valid because they were mean to her, but I will say that when Heather tells her that she's going to ruin her, right? After they go to the college party and she doesn't like want to hook up with the guy, and Heather tells her like, you can go to this high school, you can go to that high school, but like you're dead, you know? That kind of threat, I'm sure, means a lot. There's a lot of weight to it coming from her. But at the same time, it's like, she knew what she was doing. And anyway, I just think in a way it was convenient for her to go along with JD.
I feel like they all needed hobbies.
Yeah.
Extracurriculars. Well, they do have croquet.
But like more than just strip croquet and like
this would have
really
never
like
happened in drama. In
like
drama
build program. Like build some birdhouses, like just like focus on some artistic things and like let's not just like kill people we don't like.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. And then I would also along those lines say like parental supervision and interest and engagement. Like, is there something we can put up? Like, I know that we tried to blame like 1980s parenting for Action Park.
Yeah, yeah.
maybe there's something along the lines for this.
This is great. I'm glad you brought it up because that was actually a listener suggestion we had.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. This one comes from Ty LePee. Shitty parents / teachers and shoddy police work. Basically, all the adults in the film. Not one adult in the entire film intervened or paid any attention to the teenagers, even though they were blatant red flags. Never trust a teen wearing a monocle.
Lol.
Okay. So I'm going to put shitty adults. Is that good?
That's nice.
Sure.
Sure.
There was also another listener recommendation. Coming from Art Like Bread, and they said, to be completely honest, I would say socioeconomic stratification.
Whoa.
The reason I saw this is that across the board in nearly all such situations, the popular kids have wealth or access to wealth. The cars, fun parties, clothes, and gadgets that signal status are all tied to wealth. While you don't have to have money to be let into the clique, the core members usually do. And it was all this that led to the tragedies in Heather's. And finally, corn nuts. So I think they just want to get corn nuts in there because it's such a memorable one. But I thought that was an interesting point.
Yeah, and that comes from like being cool and being cool for the wrong reasons.
Well, yeah, and it's also like, what happens when you have like, not only do you have a first world, but you have like, you're in the suburbs of a first world, like you have wealth, so you're surrounded by wealth, you become you just get distanced from the things that matter. And part of the performances and the script in this movie, I think, is meant to make you feel totally isolated from these characters, because like nobody expresses a single emotion in the entire movie. Like everyone's only thinking about themselves and like if they'll be in trouble or if they're what's going on with them. So like from teens to adults, like, and I don't know how to encapsulate
selfishness.
That. It's like
selfishness, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's like teenage narcissism too.
Ooh. Ooh, that's good. That's good. There's a few big ones that I want to put up. And you're like, what's left? Okay. We already have a million things up on the board. Unresolved generational trauma.
Oh.
JD's penchant for death and destruction isn't new. It's generational. His father, Big Bud Dean, is the owner of Bud Dean Construction, though Bud jokes that the company is more of a deconstruction company since most of the company's work is about blowing up buildings. Specifics aren't detailed about the death of JD's mother, but it's suggested that she killed herself by walking into a library just minutes before Bud hit the switch to blow it up during their time in Texas. It seems probable her suicide was faked, or it was real, and JD is faking these high school suicides to reenact his past traumas. JD gets the idea of the bomb to blow up Westburg Westerberg High School when watching one of Bud's demolition videos. Bud is telling JD about how he had to put a Norwegian bomb in the boiler room, which set off the thermals in the floors above. From there, JD builds the bombs and to blow up the school.
Oh, yeah, definitely the trauma of his mom dying in that way would make him be violent as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and he's definitely not getting like the dad is obsessed with violence, right? So I'm assuming this is something that's very common in the household, right? He's watching videos.
Well,
he's
channeled his
violence into blowing buildings up.
So yeah. His business. It's almost, I mean, that's in a way, it's the most productive. He's the most sort of like level-headed,
well-adjusted,
well-adjusted character. I mean, like, if you think about it,
we're getting a pretty good list here. And just a time check,
I want to respect the time, and I want to put two more things that are important. Okay, I had John Hughes flicks up. According to Heather's screenwriter, Daniel Waters, I was stepping back from the teen movies we were getting at the time, especially the John Hughes films, which were fun and are still fun. But at school, there was all this weird Machiavellian energy that was never in the movies about high school. According to The Guardian, we didn't think things were as fun as everybody else, says Heather's director, Michael Lehman. We were looking at the John Hughes films and saying, this is bullshit. The movies are fun. We like them, but we didn't think they really represented the true cruel nature of interpersonal behaviors in high school. So it's like what they were, the content of the time wasn't reflecting the reality of what it must have been like to be a high school kid in the 80s. Mm-hmm.
So they were rebelling against John Hughes. But do you think you could blame John Hughes for that?
Well, if John Hughes didn't make such fun movies, would they have to make this reaction movie to the fun John Hughes movies?
Well,
I mean, no.
If he made things that were maybe more representational, maybe
less. We've gotten into this before where it's like the Steven Spielberg effect, where it's like Jurassic Park is not Steven Spielberg's fault.
Okay, so you want to just cross this off.
It's a little meta. It's a little meta.
To go that far.
And it's sort of like talking about Heather's as though it was a documentary.
Right. So far from it.
We'll keep it on the board, of course. The board is a safe place for any idea.
It's true.
Oh, the sacred board. It's a sacred board.
It is.
What about the Cold War and Reagan?
Okay.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
Okay. There are many online theories that dissect the film's color scheme, specifically the reds and blues, and believe it represented a larger political history. Mm. Here's one from film journalist Sarah Bennett. Reds and blues, the main colors in the movie are red and blue. Everything in Heather C's house is accented red, and she's even lit red at the Remington party. When JD killed Heather C, it's by getting her to drink blue Drano-like fluid. When Heather Duke is coaxed to take over as Queen Bee, when Heather C dies, she becomes red. Then Veronica victoriously claims the red scrunchie at the film's end. The Cold War, quote, the 80s was Reagan's decade, and as Heather's was being made, the Gipper was losing both his short-term memory and the presidency. The movie then would be a bitter commentary on the Reagan years, with red being the obvious symbol for communism and blue representing the U.S. of A. What do we think about that?
I just think, wow, if the screenwriter really was deciding to put it in that under the 12th layer of the movie, holy cannoli.
I'd say, Ronald Reagan, put on your Velcro suit. We're throwing you up on the board.
Ronald Reagan?
Okay.
Because he was losing his mind. That's
right. All right. And two more quick ones. Grandma's birthday. Now, this was actually pointed out by Chris while we were rewatching the movie. Heather skips Grandma's birthday pretending to be hungover. If it wasn't her birthday, her parents would have been in the house and JD and Veronica wouldn't have been able to sneak in. Grandmas shouldn't have birthdays.
At a certain point, you get it so old. If the number crosses over to a certain point, let's just... We'll have a get-together once every 5 years, but not every year. Like, we shouldn't be celebrating. And think about how many lives she could have saved.
And finally, I do feel strongly about this one. Men not listening to women. It could also be labeled as culture of assault, misogyny. After JD kills Kurt and Ram, Veronica is mad and tells him that she didn't want to kill them. JD just responds, "Yeah, you did." But Veronica definitely didn't told him that she didn't want to kill them. It's just like, first of all, I think there's like, I'm trying to count, maybe like four like sexual assaults in this film.
Hmm.
And there's definitely like this, the way JD kind of talks to Veronica is very, what's the word? Like, he's like gaslighting her.
Should we just put gaslighting too, I think?
Yeah, that's true. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we are going to have Chris read all of the things up on the board.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Who is to blame for the events that transpire in the movie Heathers? Is it JD, too cool for school, cliques, pursuit of coolness, social hierarchy, young love, hormones, Veronica, trends, society ignoring mental health until it's too late, Werther effect, hyperbole, diaries, lack of hobbies, shitty adults, socioeconomic stratification, teenage narcissism, unresolved generational trauma, John Hughes films, Cold War, Reagan, Grandma's birthday, men not listening to women, or gaslighting?
Right off the bat, let's take off John Hughes, let's take the Cold War out, and let's take good old Reagan. We're going to get you, but not this time.
He's to blame for a lot.
This would have been a stretch.
But not this.
Amanda, you just accidentally took off Grandma's birthday, and we didn't see
it. Oh, but whoops! Grandma have
her birthday.
We don't want to be known as Grandma.
Oh my God! We don't want to give Grandma the slap.
We love our grandmas. I mean,
no, and also all of our grandma listeners.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
We love the granny gang.
I also think that we can take we can fold the either fold the pursuit of coolness into too cool for school, kind of the same thing, right? Or maybe too cool for, it's kind of the same thing. Pick your whatever you like, Amanda.
Okay, I guess I'll go with too cool for school. So I'll yes, I'll fold pursuit of coolness into too cool for school.
I'd like to let young love off the hook.
Okay.
Mm.
It's more, hormones.
It's the hormones. Yeah. It's not the. It's not innocent love.
No, you're such a lover hater.
I think we can take diaries off. I feel like it's probably good to express your feelings, and it was supposed to be private. What she wrote.
Sure. You know what? If honestly, if JD had a diary, then he probably
might have been for so the angsty. Opposite podcast of this, which is who's the hero.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good.
I think we could take off hyperbole. I mean, I really think we could. We have to.
I also think just like general trends can come off the list.
Long shot.
Cliques can also fold into too cool for school, right? Because
Or social hierarchy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We could take away the Werther effect, right? Because it's not, it wasn't just like a rash of suicides. The people who tried it didn't succeed. I think that could come off.
True. And I think the ignoring, you know, society ignoring mental health is more important. So hormones, I feel like it's more than hormones at this point.
Now, I'll take hormones off, but we didn't put up the Heathers. And I know.
It's a bit of victim blaming.
It's a little bit. It is definitely victim blaming. However, I mean, I feel like they're kind of encapsulated in like social hierarchy and cliques,
right?
But just acknowledging that we didn't put them up, and we acknowledge that, but we wouldn't have blamed them anyway.
Yeah, they would have folded into that social hierarchy thing anyway.
Yeah.
But thank you.
They could have. For saying that. Here's the thing: in another version of the movie, they could have just as easily been the ones to start this rash of murder suicide stuff. But they didn't.
They didn't. So and that's what counts this time, right? They didn't do it.
What do you guys think about
the huge difference between killing people and not killing?
There is that.
There's a huge.
You know, that's what I was trying to say. And thank you for.
I feel like teenage narcissism. I don't know. There's a part of me that could come off, because still you could be narcissistic without killing people if we're going
very true.
Mm-hmm. If that's the line.
And I don't think it's unresolved generational trauma at this. I think there's more to it. It didn't give JD the tools to perhaps cope with the other difficult parts about being a teenager. I don't know. Like, not everyone has like perfect parents, right? So, and not everyone is killing people.
Right.
True.
And some people who have perfect parents, they might kill too.
Maybe, I wonder if men not listening to women and gaslighting could be rolled up into JD.
Yeah, it was his very specific brand of those things that came from his trauma that he was going through, and his sort of, because he was manipulative. It wasn't that he didn't listen to her. He sort of bulldozed her and really tried to kind of, I mean, the gaslighting was one tool that he used, but he was also, there was other things going on there.
Well, you
other
just made me.
More direct manipulation.
You made me think of something. He was being gaslighted by his dad in all of those scenes. It was like, and I know we've discussed this before, it's like misdirected hate.
Right. Rage.
Or like,
I mean, I don't know that I would agree with that totally. I feel like they had an interesting relationship, which was like that he kept calling his dad son and his dad kept calling him dad. I think what they were trying to tell us was that these sort of structures of parent-child relationships are sort of like in this particular time so broken down that there isn't like a true good leader. Sort of go under like shitty parents almost.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Okay.
Shitty parents, shitty adults is kind of looking hot to me.
It's, yes. Lack of hobbies? Perhaps we can. I mean, I take your point. Rebecca, if they were busier doing good, right? Or with volleyball practice.
There's plenty
practice.
Of people who don't have hobbies and they don't kill anyone. So I think, yeah, we could take that off.
Okay. So just to recap, the ones we have left are JD, Too Cool for School, Social Hierarchy, Veronica, Society Ignoring Mental Health Until It's Too Late, Shitty Adults, Socioeconomic Stratification.
It's funny. I was thinking about lack of hobbies as one that was like really high on my list.
Oh.
Because just because it's sort of like the best or it's the phrasing that sort of best summarizes in my mind what's like the strongest effect here, which is that it's just like a lack of connection to the people around you, a lack of community, a lack of sense of connecting to society or people. Because everyone is just so on their own in this movie. Mm. Like there is just no there's no sort of like
yeah, there's no humanity. There's no empathy.
Yeah, or
right?
Empathy
yeah.
anywhere.
If they had just maybe sat down in, if they had sat down with Martha in the beginning of the movie.
Right. Well, to me, the hobbies is like, what's funniest thing about that is like, yeah, like make a quilt together, like
work
make
together.
One of those story quilts
yeah.
together, like work together, do something together and try and help each other.
It's back
Even
on the board.
Teacher who tries to get everybody to like hold hands. It was all just for the, sort of
she's a shitty
local
adult
news
yeah.
or whatever yeah
I
anyway.
Think also to that point, and this is why I've now put it back on the board, there was nothing grounding anyone in reality. It feels like they need to like do some work with their hands, you know, instead of just being in their own brains all the time and worrying so much. It's
true.
Like yeah, make a quilt, like hit a
make
ball,
a community garden, like come on.
Yes. Oh, great idea. Start a podcast.
Yeah.
Get a big call.
Brought us through the pandemic. Like
Now, let me suggest this. Wrapping up society ignoring mental health until it's too late into shitty adults.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
yeah, cuz it
What
yeah.
do you guys think about socioeconomic stratification, cuz I think that that's Do you think that that's to blame?
It's such a strong case. I mean, we are right at the beginning. They're playing croquet in the
yeah,
backyard
right.
with the designer. Like,
yeah, and their snack is
outfits.
Pate. Every time she's like, do you want to have a snack? It's pate.
Yes, exactly.
They deserve to die.
I mean, honestly, like we could wrap lack of hobbies into socioeconomic stratification
yes.
or vice versa, because I feel like those two are really connected.
Totally. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's sort of a keeping up with the Joneses effect. It's just like everyone's competing with each other. And
they have everything at their fingertips, so why would they need to go out and like whittle their own flute?
Yeah.
They could buy the finest flute.
why do they need to have a story quilt, build a story quilt? They can just go to Crate and Barrel and just buy the finest. Is that where you get a nice
quilt? I just want to go back to what Amanda said and ask how you whittle an instrument.
Wait, well, how do you get your instruments? That would be my
Wait,
question.
Whittle a flute?
A wooden flute. You could whittle a wooden flute.
A wooden flute.
What
yeah.
is whittling?
No one knows. You'll have to have Chris look that up.
I'll have to fact check that.
Chris seems to know, but okay.
We'll do a fact check later.
Okay. Sexy.
Now, what about Too Cool for School being wrapped up into JD also, or vice versa?
Yes, I agree. And I also think we can take Social Hierarchy off.
That sort of goes into socioeconomic stratification.
Oh my God, we boiled it down to five.
And still, two of our listener suggestions are
up on the board.
Oh, wow. Have we ever had a listener suggestion
no.
go the distance?
And
no.
I did reprimand them a tiny bit last time in our aftermath.
They responded.
They did. They came back hot. Okay. JD, Veronica, lack of hobbies, shitty adults, socioeconomic stratification. I think we can fold lack of hobbies into socioeconomic stratification. Which leaves us with these final four, and I don't know what I'm going to pick here.
Is it possible? Is there room in the jail for more than one?
We don't like to do it.
All right, jail's full. I get it.
But we have done it before. We have done it before.
But that's what our slap is. That's what the slap is for.
I'm gonna say Veronica. I think we should take her off.
You want to take her off?
She tried to turn it around. She tried to save people. Midway through the movie, she has her... She has her come to Jesus moment. She realizes JD is no good, and she distances herself from him despite her raging hormones.
Okay, but
and despite his
and
cool
she saved
looks.
The school.
Have you heard? No, she didn't. Well, she didn't like. I mean, I wanted her to like run to the assembly and be like, "Everyone, get out!"
Well, she tried to kill him, right? She tried to stop him.
Yeah, but she knew the time was gonna. I don't know why she didn't evacuate. She saw the bombs. Why didn't she just run out and evacuate
There's
the entire?
There's not enough time. She's got to stop.
She had 2 minutes. There was a 2 minutes is plenty of time.
You can't get an entire school out of a building in 2 minutes.
You get a few.
I mean, I would try.
Maybe the alarmy, sure. Yeah. But not everybody is a member of the alarmy, sadly.
I'm just saying, I don't like her style. And you know that song? It's just a little too late. Da, 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 da. You
yes,
know?
We know that song.
So when she turns it around, in my opinion, it's just a little too late. Look, at the end of the day, I don't feel like the meatheads and the Heather were super nice people. But do they deserve to die?
No.
I mean, this is the thing, though. It's like when you're putting Veronica side by side with JD, he trumps Veronica. So it's like, are we thinking that Veronica might be the slap and JD goes to jail? Or are we wanting to, like, figure another situation
out? I mean, I think if you had JD in jail, you could have socioeconomic stratification get the slap, and that Veronica's shittiness can also fall into that. But I don't see how you have anyone to blame more than JD. It just seems like he's like the true mastermind.
Instigator. Yeah. Okay. Really, I hear that. And I like that option, Rebecca. How does everyone feel about that? I'm getting a lot of head nods. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to call it socioeconomic stratification. You're getting the big slap. JD, you're going to the alarmist jail. And congrats to @ArcLikeBread for getting a slap. Getting the slap choice.
I mean, that's huge. And I got to say, shoot us a little bit of an email because you're getting an alarmist touch tool, baby.
What?
Well, now.
Can I have one of those? What's a touch tool?
It's a really nice brass keychain that you can use. You put it on your keychain. It says stay alarmed. And you can use it to, like, press an elevator button or to, like, you know, I don't know if you can use
germ
it on a credit
free?
Card machine, but it's germ free.
Oh, my God.
Very safe.
Art Like Bread is going to be the coolest kid in school.
Wait, don't be too cool, though.
Oh, no.
Don't go the JD.
Oh, man. Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us again. I mean, it's always such a pleasure to hang out with you. And, you know, you just know how to blame. It's so nice to hang out with someone who really knows
it's
how to blame.
It's just fun to be on a podcast where I'm allowed to judge, you know? Because I'm judging all of you all the time.
After Heather's the Movie, though not a huge box office success, Heather's went on to gain cult status and is considered a widely influential film. Director Daniel Waters claims the film's distinct dialogue style was often imitated by up-and-coming filmmakers. Though more than 30 years old, the movie's themes, including teen suicide, bullying, and gun violence, remain relevant today. In 2010, a successful production of Heather's the Musical premiered off-Broadway. A television adaptation of the movie was also produced and scheduled to premiere in 2018. A television adaptation of the movie was also produced and scheduled to premiere in 2018, but real-life school shootings led to the Paramount Network pulling the show indefinitely out of respect for the victims. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us @TheAlarmistThe on Twitter, @TheAlarmistPodcast on Instagram, or email us @TheAlarmistPodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We're discussing the 2003 European heatwave.
by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.